Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about two movies and a TV show that came out recently here. The Flash, Indiana Jones, and the Dial of Destiny, that's what it's called. And Poker Face, the new series that came out on Peacock. Let's just jump into the first one here with The Flash.
I lost my parents. That pain made me who I am. I spent a lifetime trying to right the wrongs of the past, as if fighting crime would bring my parents back. You actually did it.
The Flash. Barry Allen uses his super speed to change the past, but in his attempts to save his mother, he creates a world without superheroes, but there is supervillains, forcing him to race for his life in order to save the future. I had mixed feelings going into this movie because just because the whole controversy around Ezra Miller definitely put a damper on my excitement for the movie, because, you know, they announced, oh, a Flash movie is coming up, and I'm like, oh, cool, I'm excited, I definitely want to see a Flash movie. They could do a lot of cool stuff with this. And then, you know, it turns out, okay, the guy that plays the Flash, Ezra Miller, I mean, first off, he's a transvestite, you know, and so there's, there's that. And then there's, you know, he got, like, arrested for some stuff, and there's, like, videos of him yelling at the police for misgendering him, and all this kind of stuff, and it just... I guess it seems like he you know, has some unaddressed mental issues and stuff, you know, going on. And the whole situation, the whole controversy and all that kind of stuff just kind of made me less excited for the movie. But then when the trailers and stuff started coming out, it's like, okay, they looked really cool. So I just kind of had mixed feelings going into this, hoping for something good. And, you know, Ezra Miller as The Flash is very fun. I think he does a really good job with this character. He's got that kind of awkward comedy, but then also the more heartfelt drama in there, that kind of balance down pat. And he plays multiple versions of himself in this movie, and he does a good job at kind of distinguishing these different yet similar characters. And I think he does have a good kind of grasp on this version of Barry Allen, this version of the Flash. I liked seeing Ben Affleck back as Batman here in this movie. He's taken on very much a mentor type of relationship with the Flash, which I guess we got some of that in Justice League and stuff, but definitely we see a little bit more of the ins and outs of that in this movie, which I liked that. I thought that was cool. He's not the only returning Batman, though. Michael Keaton returning as Batman back from way back in, what, the 80s or whatever, with Batman and then Batman Returns. And look, I'm going to say this just right off the bat. I'm not even a big fan of his Batman movies. I think his first Batman movie with Tim Burton directing and stuff was all right. You know, that was decent. That was all right. Batman Returns, I think, is terrible. I think that is an awful movie. I hate that movie. It's so bad. And the Penguin in that movie and stuff, so bad. So I am not a fan of his Batman movies. That said, he's great. He is great in this. I like Michael Keaton, and I think that it touches back to those older Batman movies. Like, I think if you're a fan of those older Batman movies, you'll like them. Actually, I have a friend who is a big fan of those older Batman movies, and he watched it, and he said, oh yeah, Batman is the best part. Michael Keaton is the best part of this movie. And honestly, I probably agree with that. I think Michael Keaton as Batman in here is probably the best part of this movie. I really enjoyed his version of Batman in here and his interactions with the Flash and stuff, and kind of him being the old retired out of the element kind of Batman and then coming back into it and stuff. Good stuff there. I really liked Michael Keaton's Batman. We got Supergirl in here, played by Sasha Calle, and she's great, honestly. We don't get tons with her, but she definitely gives me the vibes of the Supergirl of the comics, you know? And I'd be down to see more of her character in the future, assuming that any of these characters have a future. It's still unclear to me. Even after watching the movie, I was thinking, okay, once I watch the movie, maybe I'll better understand if this is going to be connected to the future, because even James Gunn, who's heading up the future, is kind of like, oh, you know, maybe he could be the Flash in the future and stuff. And so it's like, okay, so is this going to be connected to the future of the DC universe and stuff? Even after watching it, I still don't know. I don't know. I don't know what in the world's going on with DC. But I think this is a good version of Supergirl. Angry, kind of bitter towards the world, but then you kind of got that glimmer of hope in her too, kind of. A character, you know, so a good version of Supergirl here. It is weird having so many of these other big characters. It's almost like a Captain America Civil War in a way, where it's like, sometimes it feels like Flash is almost like a secondary character in his own movie. It's just kind of a little bit of a weird thing. I mean, he's definitely the main character, but there are definitely spans of this movie where it seems more like, you know, okay, this is more Batman's kind of movie, or this is more, you know. So it's an interesting thing. That said, I like the other supporting characters here, so not necessarily a bad thing. The return of Zod here. Okay, so Michael Shannon as Zod, his return was pretty underwhelming, if I'm being honest. I think Michael Shannon has such a great performance as Zod in Man of Steel. Like, he is such a phenomenal villain in there, but he just seems so uninterested here. He seems disengaged. It seems like he just doesn't really have anything to do. He's just kind of there, you know, and so I can't say that I really liked him coming back, because it just felt so uninspired, which is a bummer, because his first performance was so inspired. I thought, you know, his first performance in Man of Steel was so good as Zod. To bring back such a great villain in such a bland, uninteresting role, that he's just the big powerful guy they beat up at the end. You know, he's the kind of generic superhero villain that he was not in Man of Steel. You know, he's just kind of the generic superhero villain that needs to be there to beat up at the end, which is, it's disappointing to take a character that was so cool earlier and then bring him down to this kind of level, you know, a bit of a bummer. There's definitely some cool action scenes in here. There's some cool slow-mo, Flash running fast kind of scenes in here. Though I will say that I think the CGI in this is terrible. Like, oh my goodness. There's certain sequences where the CGI is just atrocious. It just looks like animated movie type stuff going on in here that just looks awful in live action. And there's an excuse for that, you know. I guess the director came out and said, oh yeah, this was intentional to make it look slightly cartoony looking, because this is how it would look when you're running super fast. And I don't know if this is just him like covering the butt of the CGI team or whatever that was working on this, or if that was like an intentional choice. But if it was, it looks awful. It looks absolutely terrible. And there's really one action scene in particular that this really affects, that this was like really, really bad in. And it's just, it makes what should have been an extremely cool action sequence just kind of like, eh, man, I would like this so much more if it was actually, if the CGI was better. It's just so bad. Thematically, this isn't a movie that's really going to make you think too deeply or anything, I don't think. But there's like some ideas of, accepting your lot in life, kind of making the most out of where you're at in life. Not like, don't always just be dwelling on the past and, oh, what could have been. Instead, take advantage of what is and what's in the now, and move forward, you know, in your life, instead of just trying to always be looking backwards, right? You know, which I think, yeah, okay, that's probably a positive theme, but again, it's not anything that I think is gonna leave you thinking too deeply or anything of that nature. Overall, this is a decently fun movie. This isn't anything spectacular. I really think this could have been more. I think a Flash movie could be amazing, but we're not quite there with this movie. That said, what we have here, I think, is very fun. It's a good time, and it's a good introduction introductory kind of movie to this Flash. Now, the question really is, are we going to get any more of this Flash? I don't know. I'd be down for it, but I don't know. Overall, pretty fun movie, not anything particularly amazing. Now let's move on to Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Dial of the Destiny's Dial of Temple of Doom.
Surprise! I'm retiring.
Well, in that case, what are we drinking?
Same for the goddaughter.
Dad told me you found something on a train during the war. A dial that could change the course of history.
Why are you chasing the thing that drove your father crazy?
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. That's what the name is. Okay. Finding himself in a new era, approaching retirement, Indy wrestles with fitting into a world that seems to have outgrown him. But as the tendencies of an all too familiar evil return in the form of an old rival, Indy must don his hat and pick up his whip once more to make sure an ancient and powerful artifact doesn't fall into the wrong hands. I'm not the biggest Indiana Jones fan. There's some of the older movies that I like and some of the ones that I don't like. If I'm being honest here, the first movie, in my opinion, is just okay, but I didn't grow up watching it. I think if I did, I probably would like it a lot more, but I think the first movie's okay, the second movie's not very good, and the third movie's pretty fun. I think the third movie is a fun movie, and honestly, my favorite is number four, is the one that everybody hates with the, you know, nuke in the fridge and all that. My favorite is the Crystal Skull, because that movie was not taking itself seriously at all, and I mean, maybe that's part of the reason that people didn't like it, but that movie was not taking itself seriously, and so when all the goofy, crazy stuff happened, it was like, it was just having a fun time and goofing and having an enjoyable time, and I thought it was a lot of fun, honestly. So coming from that angle, The Dial of Destiny is okay. This movie's okay. We're back to just being okay here. We got an old Indiana Jones, like practically retired, I guess, as it said in the description. But he's past his prime Indiana Jones, and so we bring in this new character that's kind of the character that's in their prime, and that's pulling him back into the adventure. That is Helena, his Indiana Jones's goddaughter, played by Phoebe Walker-Bridge, and basically we're seeing him get dragged back into the action instead of, like, jumping back into the action, which I guess if he's this old, that's just gonna be the way that it is, you know? So I guess that makes sense. But I guess I like the maybe a little bit younger, more spry Indiana Jones, I guess, even of the Crystal Skull, because as compared to this, he's like Grandpa Indiana Jones here, basically. And by the way, you know, he is probably like the age of my grandpa, and my grandpa could definitely not do. My grandpa is, you know, he can get out there and do some stuff more than a lot of people his age. You know, he's a spry guy, but he could not do a lot of the stuff that Indiana Jones did in this movie. But I guess that's what makes Indiana Jones Indiana Jones, I guess. My favorite stuff in this movie is when they do the flashback stuff. They do some flashbacks to when Indiana Jones is younger. And dude, whatever face technology they did on here, apparently it's something new. It's not just the same stuff that they've been doing in some of the Marvel stuff and stuff recently where they de-age people. Apparently this is some newer version of that technology that's extra advanced or whatever, but it looks really good. I mean, it legitimately looks like Harrison Ford is a young guy to me in these sequences. These sequences, I think, are fun, you know, them kind of discovering the temple or the Dial of Destiny back in the past, and then that's what connects us to the present day. Those sequences are fun, and then we got this old man Indiana Jones and his goddaughter's the one that's doing all the work and dancing around him, kinda, and it's honestly, that whole section of the movie is just kinda like, okay, it's okay. It's just like, I would rather Indiana Jones be out there doing stuff instead of just being like, okay, I guess I gotta go along with you because you're the one that knows everything now and stuff. I don't know. It's just almost like, why is this here? You know, it's almost too late. I don't know. Let's not make another Indiana Jones movie where it's too late. I do like Mads Mikkelsen. He's the guy that's trying to bring Nazism back. You know, he's the ex-Nazi that's trying to bring it back. And Mads Mikkelsen is really good at playing a bad guy, and he's good at playing a bad guy here. So I think he did a good job. Toby Jones in here is fun. I always like him. Boyd Holbrook. He was in Logan. And some other stuff that I've seen. He's also very good at playing a bad guy. He's another one of the Nazi guys. And I like him in this movie. Thematically, I mean, we got you hear it in the trailer and stuff. But thematically, you got the idea that it's like, it doesn't really matter what you believe. It really just matters how hard you believe it. Which is just like, it's just one of the dumbest things that you ever hear. Like, what in the world? It doesn't matter what you believe in. Only it matters how hard you believe in it. It's like, that does not make any sense at all, because what if the thing that you're believing in is wrong? Then you believe in it really, really hard, but oh, it was wrong. Oh, nope, you're gone. Like, what? That makes literally no sense, unless you look at it from their perspective, I guess. Unless you look at it from the perspective of the everything is relative, truth is relative type of lens, right? If you're looking at it from that kind of lens, which is, you know, truth is relative, whatever is true for you is true for you, and is true for me is true for me, and even if those things clash, they're still equally true and equally valid to those individual people, but not in the rest of the world or something. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely illogical and inane, but this is a belief system that is out there, the whole relative truth kind of idea, and it leads to really stupid statements like this that are like, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter what you believe, just how hard you believe it, which is just, again, it's just falls apart immediately if you look at that at all. It just doesn't make any sense. Overall, this movie is meh. It's okay. You know, there's some elements of fun to be had here, but overall, I just don't care. I really just don't care about this. You know, it's just completely uninteresting for the most part, which is unfortunate, because I think Indiana Jones could be a very fun movie. I think we got a couple fun movies in the franchise, namely 3 and 4, which, you know, 4 is definitely the one that people don't like. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, let's talk about Poker Face.
What's it like? Always knowing the truth.
There's nothing mystical about it. I could just tell.
When anyone is lying.
Yeah. I know what you did, you psycho.
You're gonna find Charlie Kidd, and you're gonna bring it to me.
Poker Face. Charlie has an extraordinary ability to determine when somebody is lying. She hits the road with her Plymouth Barracuda, and with every stop encounters a new cast of characters and strange crimes she can't help but investigate and solve. So this is a new murder mystery type TV show on Peacock streaming service, which I have for now, and so I saw this series coming out. I like the lead actress here, and so I thought, okay, this looks interesting, this looks fun, I'm going to check this out. The lead actress here is Natasha Lone. She's the same lady that is in Russian Doll, which I very much enjoyed, and I think she has a fun performance in there. And look, I don't know if she can play any other character really than that, because she basically plays the same exact character again in this movie as she did in Russian Doll. So I don't know if, you know, if you go outside of those two TV shows, if she would be a completely different character somewhere else, but she is very similar here, and it's fun. I like this character that she plays. Very irreverent, funny, off the cuff, and kind of, you know, seemingly just going through life without really any kind of deep connections or anything, but then she kind of has a heart of gold too, you know, that whole thing. But she is just a very fun character and very well portrayed by this actor. I think that the mysteries, I think, are really well done, because I think the unique thing with the mysteries in here is that it's not really a mystery per se, because each one is not done in a way where you're trying to figure out who killed them. Because basically every mystery, you know who killed them. You know what happened and what's going on. The real intrigue of the series is how is she going to figure it out? And so she has, you know, she can tell when somebody is lying. So she can just look at somebody and just based on the way they say it, based on the way that they, you know, they look or whatever, she has this just this internal instinct. She absolutely knows whenever somebody is lying. The interesting and kind of unique angle with this series is that we know the truth and the lies. We know when somebody is telling the truth and when somebody is lying because we know who the murderer is, we know how it happened, and we know all this stuff, but she doesn't. And so she just kind of stumbles into this situation because she's not a cop or anything. She's not a detective or somebody looking for these things. She's just somebody that's kind of stumbling into the situation, which is, by the way, stumbling into a murder situation 10 times because it's 10 episodes. That's ridiculous. But anyway, that's fine. It's part of the series. So the fun of the series really is watching her trying to figure this out. And we know, you know, so they tell a lie and then you can see on her face, she goes, oh, I know that that's a lie, but I don't know why that's a lie, or I don't know, you know. And so she's like trying to figure out, why did he lie here? Like, it doesn't make any sense for him to lie about that, right? And then it figures out, oh, he lied about that because of this, and you know, one thing leads to another, and she eventually solves the case, right? Very fun, very unique, I think, an interesting way to do a murder mystery series that's, you know, it takes it out from just being your typical whodunit and trying to figure out, and at the very end they figure out it was you with the candlestick in the library. You know, it takes it beyond that a little bit, with still having some of those elements. You know, there definitely is the scenes at the end where she's putting all the pieces together and saying it all, and that kind of typical Sherlock Holmes or Hercule Poirot type of thing, right? And with her traveling across the country doing this, you get whole new casts of characters in every episode, and that could be the kind of thing where it's like, you know, okay, we're just getting new cast of characters, you know, why do you care about any of these? But I think they do a really good job at making you care about these characters that, you know, will only last the one episode and stuff. I think they have some fun and interesting characters and some unique reasons for the murders and stuff like that I think are fun and engaging. I think that really works. And then you got the overarching story, which is her. She is in trouble with the casino and stuff, and so her going across the country is she's on the run, basically. And so that overarching story, also with some mystery elements in there, ties all this together, I think, really well, and makes it so it's not just the random episodes, right? It makes it so it's not just she stumbles into the town and you like can stop watching at any point. You can't stop watching because you got to get to the end to see where this overarching story is going, and I think that overarching story is really compelling and fun. There's some pretty big name actors that pop up in here too. I guess since you can basically be one-offs in here, it's easier to get in some of these one-off actors, you know. But like Adrian Brody is in here, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know, some other fairly big actors that pop up in here in different episodes. Pretty cool, pretty good stuff. And I like seeing some of those pop up. You know, oh, you see that guy pop in there and you're like, oh, obviously he's going to be, you know, either the killer or the killed or something like that, right? But that is just kind of how these type of TV shows work. As far as like the murder mystery of the week, very episodic in a lot of ways kind of shows, I think this is like top tier of that kind of stuff, because I'm not a big fan of the very episodic shows. I like shows that have the ongoing story. You know, I am definitely more of the fan of like the Breaking Bad or something along those lines, where it's one big story versus the murder mystery of the week kind of stories, right? Now, that said, of the murder mystery of the week kind of stories, I think this one is definitely one that I kept coming back to, and I'll come back to when season 2 comes out, because it's very fun. And that's it for this episode. What did you think of The Flash? What did you think of Poker Face? And what did you think of Indiana Jones? You can let me know, HelixReviewsPodcast at gmail.com. But before I go, I do want to talk about some spoilers to The Flash, tying it around back to the first movie here. I have some spoilers. I didn't want to just spoil it there right in the middle of the episode so you could continue listening and cut it off at the end if you don't want to hear the spoilers. So a few spoilers here for The Flash. You've been warned. All right, spoiler warning. All right. So the part with the CGI that is so atrocious, if you've seen the movie, you probably know. The baby is falling at the beginning of the movie. To me, looks so fake. They look like cartoon, like it's like the boss baby is falling out in a live action world. Like, what in the world is going on here? This is insane how bad these babies look. They look so incredibly fake to me. It was insane. When all the babies fell out, I was like, oh man, like they're kind of going for some dark humor here. It's not just like the light, goofy humor. Like, they have babies falling, and then there's like a dresser like falling over one baby, and then there's like knives over, and I was like, oh my goodness, they're going for some dark humor, and they're kind of playing it for laughs, and of course he saves all the babies, and you know, he sticks one in the microwave, which is like, okay. but... So it's like a scene that I think could have been really fun. Like, it was kind of entertaining, but I think it could have been really good and really fun had it looked better. Just the CGI. To me, the CGI was just so egregiously bad in that scene. And I'm not even one that always, like, I'm not always complaining about the CGI in the movies, right? Like, there is certain people that I'll hear that's like, man, the you know, superhero movies always look bad, always have this terrible CGI and stuff. And, you know, all right, I don't have a big issue with it, but looking at this one, I'm like, man, the CGI, some of the CGI in this movie is very bad. So, yikes. Okay, so the end of the movie, you got all the different worlds coming together, and you got the different worlds, like, crashing together. You see the Christopher Reeve Superman, you see the 1966 Batman, you see Nick Cage as Superman, but he had a normal Superman suit. If you know anything about the Nick Cage Superman thing, you know, The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, there's a documentary series if you want to see What Happened to Superman Lives, which was going to be a Superman movie with starring Nicolas Cage, directed by Tim Burton. Bizarre idea for a combination of actor and director, and it sounded like very strange ideas. He's there fighting a spider, which is what he was supposed to do at the end of that movie, and but he was supposed to have like a rainbow suit. It was supposed to be Superman have like some kind of crazy rainbow colorful suit in Superman Lives, but no, he had more of a normal Superman suit, and it was Nicolas Cage, and it was funny. Like, the people in theater definitely were laughing and stuff, but I was like, it's kind of cool to see, just because of the connection of like, oh, this was one that was going to be made, and there's a lot of production art and stuff that is out there for this movie. But I also question, like, do other people know about that? Like, how many people really know about this? You know, like, the people laughing in the theater, were they laughing, like, I laughed too, but were they laughing and like, oh yeah, I know that this was the thing that was going to happen? Or were they laughing just because they're like, what in the world, Nicolas Cage, what are you doing here? Which is another reason kind of that I laugh too, because it's just like kind of a random, weird thing. But it makes sense if you know about some of the background of that movie that was ultimately never made. I did not see Henry Cavill in there at all. My friend who watched it says that he saw Henry Cavill in there with the Supermans. So maybe he was in there. I don't know. I didn't see him. But after the movie, I was going, why was Henry Cavill not in there? He absolutely should have been one of the Supermans and stuff that was all crashing together with this. You know, okay. The whole multiverse stuff, it's fun stuff. I enjoy that kind of stuff, but we're getting so much of it now. You know, we had so little of it, and now it's just the glut. It's just all of it. You know, we're getting with the Spider-Man No Way Home, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, all those Spider-Verse movies. We got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We got this one, which is bringing together all these multiverses. We're getting so many multiverse type stuff. And man, you know, I enjoy it. I think it's fun. But why did it all have to come at once? You know, like, couldn't this, some of this stuff have been spread out a little bit more? Because it just feels like, okay, you know, it's cool to see some of this kind of stuff. But honestly, the impact of this kind of thing has already kind of lessened a little bit, just because of the fact that we've seen so much of it so often recently here. And so it's like, oh, you know, and I think, you know, in some ways, like, the impact could have been bigger, but it really, it's in no way the fault of the people who made this movie. This is the movie that they were making, and they were talking about making a Flashpoint movie way back, you know, early when this movie was announced, like, many years ago. And so it's like, you know, it's not even necessarily their fault, but it's just where we're at now in movies and superhero movies and all this kind of stuff. Is say we have so much multiverse stuff going on, you know, and even outside of the superhero movies, you got stuff like Everywhere, every place, all at once, or whatever that movie's called, where it's all the different, you know, universes and all the, you know, seeing all that kind of stuff. So even outside of the superhero realm, we're getting those kind of movies, you know. So you know, it is what it is. Okay, so the very end of the movie, you hear Batman talk to Flash, and you know, okay, this isn't going to be the same Batman. This, you know, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be the Michael Keaton Batman, and oh, how did he end up here, right? But then, no, it turns out to be the George Clooney Batman. It turns out to be George Clooney as Bruce Wayne walking up, and he's like, what in the world? And it is just like, it's funny, and it's like, what in the world? But it's also like, wait, if this is at all connected to the actual, like, future of the DC universe here, then what in the world are they going to do with this? Or if it's not connected, then presumably they were going to have, like, another Flash movie and, like, fix this or something. I don't know. I don't know what in the world is going on here. But I think it's funny. It's definitely a funny moment when George Clooney walks out and is like, oh, okay, he's here now. It's like, okay, that's funny. That's goofy. The reveal of who the mysterious speedster in the Speed Force is, which is like it's the alternate version of himself after trying to, like, save Batman and save Supergirl and them in this infinite loop a la Doctor Strange, you know. So he's stuck in this infinite loop. I think it's a really cool idea. It's maybe a bit undercooked. Like, I think maybe we could have worked up to it a little more or had a little bit more with the evil version of himself earlier or something. It came up kind of fast. It just kind of popped up really fast. That said, it is a cool idea. I do like that idea. I think that's pretty neat. And then the after credits scene is Aquaman. It's Flash and Aquaman hanging out together. Aquaman's drunk. It's stumbling all over the place. And Flash is like, yeah, I can't get drunk, so I'm just going to go. And, you know, it was funny. It was fun. I like, you know, Jason Momoa as Flash. He's fun. Or Jason Momoa as Aquaman. He's fun. And so, you know, it was a fun scene, but it's not anything super special. But, yeah, there we go. That's my thoughts on Flash. That's it for this time. Until next time, this is David of Helix Reviews signing out. Bye-bye, guys.